Welcome to the Builders of Authority podcast, a show committed to helping you build authority for your brand. In the realm of business and personal branding, authority stands as a cornerstone. Authority isn't built overnight, it's built over time. So join us as we build something remarkable together. And now, here's your host, Adam McChesney.
Welcome back to another episode of the Builders of Authority podcast. Quick reminder before we hop into today's episode that we are continuing to grow our Builders of Authority community online. Builders of Authority is committed to helping you become the authority in your industry with personal branding and organic social media. We have our free Facebook group that you can join by typing in Builders of Authority into the search bar. And in that group, there's daily content, weekly live trainings, and much more. We have our Builders of Authority Mastermind, which includes a private Facebook group, three live weekly trainings and sessions, and access to our personal branding course and more. One-to-one personal branding coaching and consulting is also available. Please reach out to us at buildauthority.co or send me a DM on social media and let's have a conversation. We recently just had our first BOA live event here in St. Louis, which was a great success. Our next live event will be happening this summer with more to come on information on this. I'm really excited for today's episode. This guest and I originally got connected a little over 2 years ago. He was a height of clients for a bit, and since then, I've been watching him grow his company and even venture into new things. He's now a part of some of the same groups that I'm also in, which is great, as well as being a member of our BOA community. We finally met in person this past year at RoofCon, and I love his commitment to self-development and willingness to go to events just like this to keep getting better. My guest today is Noe Madrigal. He is the president of A&A Roofing in Kennewick, Washington, and the host of the Unclouded podcast. Noe, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, man. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I know you're busy, man. So talk to us a little bit about what you got going on.
Man, I was just telling you, we've just been so busy this year. And as you know, but not the audience, I bought A&A Roofing in 2021, and we've just had, some crazy growth. I was doing the percentage wise, how much growth we've had over the years, and it's about 365%. And it's not anything that I would say that is anything that people don't know. It's just being authentic, man, and just, really emphasizing relationships, man. I didn't go to college. I barely graduated high school, and man, I just wanted to do something more in life than just the normal average Joe, right? And so roofing came in by accident, nothing planned. I never even knew what roofing was about. I remember I worked at a gas station and some guys came in one time and they had a nice truck and all this. And I was like, man, what do you guys do? And you go, we're in roofing. And it just kind of went over my head. I had no idea what roofing was, what it entailed. I just was, you're on heights, huh? And you're like, yeah, we're sometimes on two stories. And I'm like, man, I'm afraid of heights. And here I am owning a roofing company later down the road. So no, man, we're just excited, man. There's so much good stuff going on in the industry. Lots of, good people now that, as I'm getting more involved with, you talk about the groups that we're a part of with the Eric Syndicate and just kind of RoofCon and everything else. I mean, there's no excuse on why somebody can't get ahead and live a significant life. It's a matter of they want it,
Yeah.
So we're on this end, have been going on with roofing since 21. And like I said, when we bought the company, and their best year, they did $780,000 in revenue. And our first year, we finished at $2.1 million. And our second year, we finished at $3.5 million. And then we just finished year three, actually. March 1st of this year was year four. And we think we're probably going to double. So yeah, man, we're just excited and excited to be with you, part of the journey. I know, like you said, you've been seeing me since the very beginning, literally. Height was our first company that we partnered with. And then we went into a different direction and kind of regret it, actually. But, you learn from your mistakes and now we are where we're at. And so we're here. So pretty much.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, it's been really cool to watch what you're doing. And that's some significant growth, for not having been in the roofing industry. What were you doing prior? I know you mentioned the gas station, but like what were you doing right before buying the roofing company?
Yeah, so I graduated high school in 2017. And after I graduated high school, I worked general construction for a year with my father-in-law and just doing like remodels inside and stuff like that. And then in 2018, when my wife, my girlfriend at the time was now my wife, when she graduated high school in 2018, we moved to Tri-Cities on the Washington side. Mm. So we were about an hour away from home and we moved over here, more opportunities. She was going to go play college softball and that didn't end up happening. And so we were in my in-laws duplex and I had no job. And gratefully, I didn't have to pay any rent, but I did have to pay all the utilities, Wi-Fi, groceries, all the other stuff that comes with it. And I just interviewed everywhere that I possibly could. And I actually sold vacuums for a month. And I was killing it. But man, it just wasn't for me. And it was just a system that people didn't need. And you were selling something to people that were 65, 70 that couldn't afford it. And you were just selling them on finance. So I felt gross about it. Like I was like, man, this isn't what I want to do. So I applied everywhere. I put like 50 applications in. I was interviewing at spots that I didn't even know what I was interviewing for. Cause it was like, I didn't care what it was. I just needed a job. Mm-hmm. And the first company that calls me and I actually interview was MacArthur, and they actually sell roofing materials. And so I show up for the inside sales position interview and we go through the third interview and I didn't get the job. They give it to somebody else. And I said, hey, thank you for the opportunity. If anything opens up, I'd be more than willing to come back. And 2 days later, they call me and they go, hey, we have a loader position. Now I'm thinking I'm going to be loading and offloading trucks with a forklift. And I get to the shop and they give me a harness and a rope and they go, you're going to get on the roof and you're the one that's going to stack the bundles for the roofers. And I was afraid of heights at the time. And I'm like, what? And of course, my first house is like a 10-12. And I'm just like, this is crazy. I'm like, I don't know that I'm going to go with this. And so I went home and I was like, man, I've never quit anything. I've never quit in sports. I've never quit anything that I've done. I'm not going to start now. So I show back up to work and I did that for like 6 months. I learned how, when I would load the materials, I would see how they would, what they were using Ridge for and what they were using Drip Edge and Starter. And I kind of started seeing how the system was. Then I got moved into inside sales, did that for about 6 months. And then I went to go work for a roofing company on the contractor side of things. And I did that for a year. And then first six months was amazing. And the last 6 months there, it just was miserable. I was the most miserable person in the world. And I was like, what am I doing? I'm 21 years old and I have the skill set to do anything else. Why am I still here? And so I finally was leaving. I put my 2 weeks in. I let my sales rep know, hey, man, I hate roofing. I'm leaving. I'm going to go do sales somewhere else. This guy calls one of his customers and says, hey, Alan, Noe is leaving roofing and you're trying to retire. But the only thing that's holding you back is you're trying to sell your company. You should give him a call. So he gives me a call. He goes, hey, Noe, I heard you're leaving the roofing industry and I'd be curious to see if you'd be interested in buying my roofing company. I go, F no, there is no way I'm leaving roofing. And he goes, man, come over for dinner, please. Just let me talk to you. And so met him up for dinner. Actually, where I'm currently at was his old office. Mm-hmm. We bought his house and we bought his business. And but that night that I came to have dinner for him, actually in that dining room down there, he just speak belief into me and he's like, you can do this, man. And we're just, this is a great company and we have a great reputation and I'll sell or finance for you. I'll sell to you for this amount of money and you just got to give me this amount of down. And I go, okay, sounds good. The problem was that the down payment was $50,000 and I had $3,000 in my bank account. So my dad sold his trucking company. $20,000 came from there. I had another roofing company in town. Let me borrow $5,000. I had another guy who was my uncle. Let me borrow $10,000. And the last $5,000 that I needed came from a guy that I used to sell vitamins for when I was in the Amway business. And so he goes, hey, man, I heard what you're trying to do. And I have $5,000 in a bank account, not doing nothing. And I'd like to contribute it to a good cause. And he gives me this $5,000. And it was the last amount of money that I needed to put this all together. And this all happened in 1 month. So I raised $50,000. And we do a seller finance agreement where I pay them back month to month. I'll actually be done this October. My company will be completely paid for and I'll be done with the monthly payments. And that's how A&A started, man. And then my dad sold his company. So he was like, look, son, He goes, if you're telling me that this will work, I will believe you. He goes, but you got to promise me one thing, that when things get tough and things go your way, you will not give up. And I was like, dude, I will not give up. I promise you that. So he sold, he took the leap of faith, sold his trucking company that fed our family for the last 20 plus years, the trucking company that built my dad's home back in town, that built the property that we have and all the horse stalls and the shop that he has. And he just said, okay, I'm going to give you my trust. We went, that was March 1st of 2021 when we signed papers. And I tell people, man, it was just me. It was me for the first 2 years. I did the estimating. I did the selling. I did the invoicing, ordering materials, signing the contracts, paying, doing payroll, doing the quarterly taxes, reconciling the paybook, reconciling our bank account, and then doing all of this stuff while trying to grow this business. I would get up 5 o'clock in the morning. I'd be out of the door by 5:30, and I'd get back home about 6 o'clock, and I would work in this office until about 11 o'clock midnight. Sleep, do it all again, 6 days a week. I did that for 2 years. I tell people how, I have no idea. I just knew that I didn't have a choice. It was out of fear, man. I was like, I had just signed myself up for over $500,000 in debt. And I have never owned a roofing company before in my life. I'm 20 at the time. I had just turned 22 of like 5 months before that. I go, how am I going to do this? And I just did it, man. And we built our business around our motto that we now have trademark and is in the back of our shirts and is on our Facebook post and is in our websites and our business cards. We're going to add it to our truck wraps, and it's hashtag saved by relationships. Mm.
Man, that's a freaking incredible story. I had no idea. I knew you bought the business, but I am glad that we had the conversation about the backstory, because that's one of the coolest stories. And I think one of the stories of like the most resilience I've probably ever heard when it comes to buying a business.
Yeah. Yeah. And I appreciate that, man. And it's just like, I mean, and I tell people, man, all the time, man, like, look, dude, like I was born in Mexico. I came here when I was 2 years old. I have a DACA, which is a Dreamers Act. And it's just a permit that allows me to be here. And I was just like, I'm not a US citizen. It's like, but the thing is that this is one of the greatest countries in the world in the terms of opportunity. Mm. Like, you can do anything that you possibly want as long as you have the mindset to do so. And it's like, man, it was so tough. Like, growing up in school, like, you have no idea what it is having fear, man. You have fear like, oh man, if my permit gets taken away because I'm screwing off, or I get a DUI, or I'm doing all these other things, I can't do anything. I can't go to college. I can't get a driver's license. I can't do anything. You're crippled. And it was just one of those things that I told my cousins, like, man, like, you guys are US citizens born in this country, and you guys are literally just throwing your lives away, man. Like, I did it, but I did it just because I wanted to be that example of, it doesn't matter your situation or your circumstances, as long as you have the mindset and the perseverance to do things, you can do anything that you truly want to, man. It's all in your head. Mm,
yeah, it is. What? So obviously, like, you've had a ton of growth, like a significant amount of growth, over 300%, you know, year after year, and going from where the company was at to where it's at now. What are some of the challenges that you had to face, especially not having run a roofing company before, that you were just like, what in the heck? I didn't anticipate this happening.
Yeah, mainly challenges, man. I mean, it wasn't no personal challenges, because I just was so locked in. So there wasn't any personal challenges, but like challenges that I was like, holy smokes, I had no idea, was all the other stuff that comes with it, like the accounting side of things. Mm. And like I told you, we're dealing with an audit right now, and it's just, they can go back 3 years and they want your payroll summary. They want the list of employees. They want timesheets, time cards, invoices, contracts. They want all of that stuff. And I tell people, man, this has been one of the greatest things that has actually, you know, people are like, oh, I'm getting audited, this and that. And they're freaking out. But I tell people, man, I hired an attorney and I said, all right, let's do this. It's just more of an opportunity for me, because this is such a good wake up call to see where we're at in our business and where we're at, like, structurally, how healthy are we and how good is our bookkeeping and our files and all this other stuff. So for me, it was an opportunity to kind of see where my company is at and what risk factor we're in. Mm. It's been great. I mean, it's obviously not fun dealing with getting all the paperwork, but it's been great in the terms of, man, like we're really learning from this. But like all the other stuff, like I wish if I would have done it back from day one, if this was me speaking to Noe day one running a roofing company, is that you can't do it yourself. As much as you want to do everything as perfect as can be, like as much as you just want to have control of everything in your business, you can't do it all yourself, man. You have to have a team, and not just a team, but you have to have trust within that team. And it just was the reason why I never hired a secretary. The reason why I never hired no sales guys for 2 years was because this was my baby. Like, this is what my life was. We still have such a great reputation. And it was just, I was so afraid of hiring a sales guy that goes and then ruins everything that I've worked so hard to do. And that was my biggest excuse for the longest time. As soon as I hired my sales guy, he was 20 years old. His first year, he did $800,000. Oh my gosh. I was like, dude, why did I not do this earlier? As soon as I hired my admin assistant, it was like, wow. And it just was finding the right people and then being able to develop a culture where you guys can have trust in that relationship. And now you can spend more time and you're duplicating yourself doing other things that are more valuable than you working in your business, not on your business. And so if I were to tell anybody else, is find a team and use your resources, use the Adam McChesney's of the world, use the Hunter Blues of the world, use the Jake Brydens of the world to be able to get you info and insight on marketing, on accounting, on our bookkeepers, sales training companies. I mean, there's so much out there. You're going to have to spend a little bit of money, but that's the price of being able to scale. Because you can be small mom and pop, $700,000 roofing company. You run one crew all day long. Like, hey, if that's what you want to do, by all means, do that. You're just going to stay in that, you know, area of revenue year in, year out. And if that's what you want to do, that's what you want to do. But when I took over, I said, man, I want to take over the freaking roofing industry here in my area. I want to be that contractor, then when you think roofing, boom, A&A Roofing and Noe Madrigal pops up in your head.
Yeah, I love that mindset. And obviously, you're well on your way of doing that and already doing that, which is the next question I want to kind of dive into. So you have this company that was more the small and mom and pop shop that you bought, and now you're blowing it up. What are some creative things that you've done? I know you mentioned some of the truck wraps and obviously social media and the new website and all that stuff. What are some creative ways that you have grown your brand locally to get more people to know, like, and trust you?
Man, I was just talking to a guy the other day, and I want to say this because we have all W-2 employees. We don't sub anything out. So all of our employees are W-2. I started off with 3 employees that stayed with the company. Only one of those, actually 0 of those employees are still around to this day. But with those 3 employees, we went from 3 employees to we have 20 guys now. Wow. But all of my guys that I have in my company were either referrals or family members of my existing employees. Mm-hmm. So everybody that's in my business was either a referral from somebody that I knew or a family member of one of my current employees. Mm-hmm. And the crazy thing is that when I was loading roofs in 2018, and when I would go out there and I would service them, hey, I need you to stack 6 squares here and 5 squares here and 4 squares there, I would do it because they were the customer and I just served them. But as I started working with them, they started giving me feedback. Man, I hate this company and I haven't gotten a raise in this amount of time and yada, yada, yada. But about 50% of my employees were guys that I met on the roof when I was stacking their bundles. So when I started my business, the first phone call I made was to all of those guys that I used to load roofs for. And I said, this is Noe. We need to meet up sometime. And I need you to get 4 or 5 of your cousins and family members that are tired of working there because I got an opportunity that is going to change your life. Mm-hmm. And they said, okay, sounds good. And we set up a time. We met at a Mexican restaurant here in Pasco, Washington. And put them all together. And I said, look, guys, this is who I am. This is what I have. And this is my vision. And I just told them my vision. And I said, and the thing is that I'm that type of guy that if the company is winning, you guys are going to be right alongside with me. We give 2 weeks vacation. We have a 401k. We have the best. We'll pay you more than you've ever been paid in your life. And sure as heck, my three foremans, you know, with zero high school diploma, with zero college, came from Mexico, making $80,000-$85,000 a year. Life changing for them. Mm-hmm. Working Monday through Friday from 6 a.m. to 5, 7 p.m., sometimes depending on the time of the season. And but not only that, it was about doing company parties, picnics, whatever I could do, getting them swag, buying them lunch, pulling them off the job site to go to the park real quick because we have a barbecue going on and then we'll come back. Like, just letting them know, hey, more than anything, I'm your friend. Because really, my guys, every single buddy that works for me, I can tell you we have such a bond. And this is with my field guys. We have such a bond that they can come up to me anytime, call me anytime, anywhere, and I'm going to answer the phone and we're going to have a good conversation. And if it's something that they're struggling with, I'm going to help them. And we've just have established that since day one. That, dude, my labor force, I don't have to worry about that stuff. But as far as creative things that I've done, we joined BNI. I started networking every possibility that I can. If I knew that there was an event, I was there. Handing business cards, talking to people, just putting my name out there. I got on Facebook and I started posting the highlights of our business and the good things that we were doing. And we started doing giveaways. We would do a Mother's Day giveaway. We'd do a Father's Day giveaway. We'd give away a roof a year to a family that needed it around Christmas time. We gave away Traegers. We gave away whatever it was, Blackstone. I mean, it just, we wanted everybody to be involved, and we pushed saved by relationships, because at the end of the day, I am only one person, and I am only here because of all of the relationships that I set years before I started my roofing company. This wasn't just a, hey, I'm just going to do it now. No, this was, Noe Madrigal was authentic from 2017, 2018. And I'm the same person I was, obviously much more wise and stuff. But as far as if you come up to me and talk to me, if I see you in public, I'm not going to dodge you. I'm going to go right up to you. How you doing, man? Mm. That's just the way it is, man. And it's just a culture.
That's awesome. Well, I think, a lot of good information that you shared right there. A lot of people think, you know, hey, it really is all the marketing things that I need to do in order to get more people to know, like, and trust me. But you can have the greatest marketing in the freaking world if your processes and systems aren't great, if your fulfillment of the crew isn't good, all those things, it doesn't really matter. It's actually determined. But you kind of went at it from the angle from the beginning is like, I'm going to go find the right people that I know that if I couple them with the right opportunity and support them and give them the life that they know that they want and are capable of living, everything's going to work itself out. And by having those amazing people around, the brand starts to build itself. And then you do some of those other things and stack it on top and you just have continued to soar.
Yeah, the main thing that I would add, man, probably the most important out of everything is that you are going to mess up at some point, at somehow. Your guys will mess up at some point, somehow, and your company will mess up at some point, somehow.
Oh, yeah.
But if you have in your head the mentality of, yeah, we're not perfect, but guess what? If we screw something up, we're going to make it right. Because nobody can ever come down later down the road, years down the road, 5 years, 3 years, 2 years down the road and say that company did my roof and they did a horrible job. If we messed up and we broke a lamp or we broke a floodlight or we messed up their rose bushes, guess what we've done? Ma'am, I want you to go to Home Depot. Or I want you to go to the nursery here in town and I want you to pick up whatever we damaged. Let me know what it is and I will reimburse you for everything. And if we need to come have a landscape company come and install it for you, we'll do it. If you want to do it yourself, keep track of how many hours you did and I'll pay you for it. And we've done that. And guess what? That's why we have 150 reviews and they're all 5 stars. Because yes, we've messed up, man. We've messed up. Sometimes we've broke things or just have been delayed on schedule. But it was one of those things that if I knew that we messed up, we were making it right every single time, whether it was $50, $500, or whether it was a $3,000 fix. You screw up, you got to make things right. And it's the right thing to do. But what you get from that is, one, you will never go to bed thinking, oh my God, this person might sue me, or man, this person is going to be mad. You go to bed knowing you have peace of mind that you made things right and that they will never come back and bite you in the butt. And the thing is that you do that. I've had my biggest referrals. My biggest referrals came from customers that I would say, man, I don't know that I want to send them a review link because I don't think that we did a really good job. But those reviews came and they go, hey, we really appreciated you making it right. Yeah. No, but we do. You were the best contractor experience that we've ever had. Mm. And we didn't even, and that wasn't even our best job. That was like, hey, we screwed up, but we made it right. And that's what they kept. They didn't think about the high profile ridge and the valley metal and the six nails per shingle. They thought about who installed the roof and how they made things right. Mm.
Yeah, that's I think it's where most people miss, right? Everybody thinks that I got to hide behind my mistakes. I don't want people to know that I'm imperfect. And then what you said, and that I've found this to be true in almost every single situation, is sometimes your best referral partners, your best reviews come from some of the most shaky foundations or the shaky projects that you do, because that anybody can be perfect, like on a project or near perfect or whatever, like five stars. But what most companies don't understand is that who you are when things go wrong is really who you are. That's the biggest thing.
Yep. We picked up a contract for 40 new construction houses yesterday. Mm-hmm. Took me 15 minutes to do it, but it took me really 4 years to do it because mm-hmm. this company, I would see them at lunch where I was the spot that I go to and eat pho at. And I would see them all the time. And I would say, hey man, I'm a roofing contractor. I see you guys build homes. Here's my business card, yada, yada, yada. And like, okay, we'll call you back. They emailed me once. I gave them some pricing. Nothing ever came from it, but I would still see them there all the time. You know what? I didn't bother them. They had my card. They had my info. They had my pricing. And I just would be in front of them. Hey, how you doing? Good morning. Hey, have a great day. And then that was it as it went. Years later. And I saw them the other day and they just were like, Noe, you're here all the time. You're meeting customers here all the time. And we just keep how you've been over the years. And we've been having some issues with our current installer. Would you come to the office? And so I said, okay, I'll come to the office. So I went to the office yesterday, met with the owner of the company. We were there for about 15, 20 minutes. He stopped me and said, hey, I've heard enough what I've had to hear. I said, we'll give you a vendor package before you leave the door, fill it out, and you'll start doing all of our houses. He goes, what we realized over the year that is that we were paying for, we were being cheap, but we were, what you have, you were paying a little bit more for you, but you have more value. Mm-hmm. He didn't choose me because I was the cheapest. We didn't change our pricing. We didn't go cheaper for him. We stayed the same person. We stayed steadfast. We just kept on doing what we did. And he came down the road and saw what we had to offer. And now, you know, we have, you know, 30, 40 new construction houses lined up, man. And those opportunities will come. If you just keep doing what you're doing, they might not happen year one, year two. It took 4 years to do that, man. But it took me 15 minutes to have the conversation. So you got to plant those seeds, right? Plant those seeds. And then later down the road, you'll see them grow.
Oh, man, that's just an incredible story. This has been a really good podcast, man. So many golden nuggets in here, not just for other contractors that are listening, but to anybody in business. He's laying some key foundational things, really all this stuff, none of it, whether it's personal branding, whether it's your health and fitness journey, whether it's growing a business, nothing good is going to happen overnight. It's going to happen over time, as we talk about all the time. So Noe, man, we're finishing up the episode today. This has been incredible. Any last pieces of advice that you would like to share with the audience today, the entrepreneur that's just struggling, trying to figure out life and figure out what is next in business?
Man, yeah, this is the office. We have our office, our main office. I just tell you, you know, this office right here, this is kind of, I'll flip the camera, but this office right here, was where things started, man. This was my little office. It's 10 by 10 right there. Got all my books. this was my one computer. I had that little tiny printer there. But this is just where it happened, man. And it just took me 2 years to be able to move out of here and get into the office space that we're at. And we moved out of that office space because we outgrew that. But I remember right here, I had my friend come over and he said, man, he goes, I can smell the frustration in this room. And I go, dude, this is where I would slam my hands on the desk. And it just was like the light at the end of the tunnel just felt like it was so far away. But the thing that kept me solid, man, was just knowing that, like, dude, everybody, and you look at all those success stories about KFC and how old he was when he founded it, man. It just was, for me, the biggest thing was that I know that our motto, hashtag saved by relationships, I know that if I stay true to that and I am true to the people that have supported me and I stay true to my customers and I just keep doing the thing and show up every single day, there's going to be an opportunity that will finally pop up that will change your business. It might be that one job that you land, that commercial job that'll just absolutely change the trajectory of your business. But it you have to show up every single day, during the rainy days, during the sunny days, during the windy days. You show up. The one day that I showed up, that I was so close to not show up to work this year was in January, and I threw out my back. I didn't throw it out. I strained my back, and I was telling Skylar, man, my back hurts. I think I'm just going to work from home today. That day that I showed up was the day that we had our biggest day and our biggest month. We signed the biggest contracts, and we set some relationships that will set us up for the rest of the year. Mm. And it just that day, if I wouldn't have showed up, I would have never picked up that office phone. I would have never been able to send out those estimates. I would have never been able to get those jobs that I got. That day was like a $250,000 day. But no, the revenue was about the relationships that were built that day that will set us up. It was just that day. It was a choice. This was this close from saying, I'm not going to show up today. I had the excuse, right? It was a valid excuse. I strained my back. I couldn't walk. I was like hunched over. But that decision that I made to show up to work today was a situation that set us up for the rest of the year. But in other people's scenarios, it could be that day. It could be today. It could be next month. It could be later this year or in 2 years from now. But there's going to be that day that you will have a decision to make that could potentially change your life.
Man, powerful. Great way to end the episode, man. Where can people stay connected with you online? Where can they learn a little bit more about the company?
Yeah, so our Facebook, my personal page, Noe Madrigal, and on the company, as far as you could search, just find us on Facebook, ANA Roofing Services in Kennewick, Washington, or our website, www.andaroof.com.
Awesome, man. We'll put all that stuff in the show notes. Thanks again. I know you're super busy. Man, I knew this was going to be a good episode, but I learned so much myself, got to know you better, and this is going to be awesome. So excited to listen to it back. Thanks again for coming on, man.
Yeah, man. Excited to keep on working with you. Have a great day.
Yeah, I appreciate you. And thank you again to the audience. Make sure to leave us a 5-star review. We're making a big push for reviews this year, just like Google, as Noe was talking about. This is a massive, massive way for us to get more audience members, more people subscribing to the podcast, et cetera, and it definitely moves the needle. And remember, authority isn't built overnight. It's built over time. We'll see you all next week.
Thanks so much for tuning into this episode. We sure do appreciate it. If you haven't done so already, make sure you're subscribed to the show wherever you consume podcasts. This way you'll get notifications as new episodes become available. If you feel so inclined, please leave us a review. We sure do appreciate it. Until next time, friends.